Hey. All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. We got a bunch of food stories that we're going to talk about a little bit later on, like some of the new food items that are available at baseball stadiums and some weird food challenges. And we're going to talk food in general. And also, we're going to do another pop-up video battle between Esmeralda and I. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. And it is 2 for Tuesday, so you can get your requests in now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right. You know, as people who are regular listeners of this show know that I grew up a huge wrestling fan, and I continue to watch it, not quite as diligently as I used to, but I do watch, and obviously WrestleMania was on Sunday night. We just last night was the usual annual insane Raw after Mania, and it was a pretty crazy show. And whenever we talk wrestling, we love to bring my friend Keith Lipinski in. He's a producer with AAW Pro Wrestling, and they've got an event coming up on Saturday we'll tell you all about. But we're going to recap WrestleMania, talk about wrestling stuff in general, and welcome my old friend Keith back to the show. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick.
Good,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure.
This is actually the third year in a row I've come on right after WrestleMania.
Oh, good.
So this is a streak that I want to see keep alive.
An Undertaker streak is what you're looking for.
I hope so, until that young buck beats me in the middle of the ring and I take off everything but my pants.
Well, so I did not see Mania. I read all about it. I know the results. And as I've said on the air, for my mom's birthday, I got her the 2 month preview subscription to WWE.
And she likes it.
She does like it very much.
Fantastic.
She watches it constantly. She's got it on her computer and on my parents' computer and her tablet, just in case.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, so she watched all of WrestleMania.
All 9.5 hours.
Yeah. No, really? Now, let's talk about it. I got the results here, and we can talk about it. You saw it, obviously.
I did.
Actually, weren't a lot of the guys at AAW, weren't they down in Orlando?
There was a lot of talent that we use. AAW is known in the Midwest for having the best core of talent, but a lot of our guys are actually from outside the Midwest, so they were working other shows down in Mania. Mania weekend basically becomes how many wrestling shows, independent wrestling shows, can we do over the course of the week? And I know you're sitting there saying they can't do that many. Literally, there was a show after WrestleMania last night called Mania After Mania, because if you didn't have enough shows during the course of the week, I mean, literally, I was up a Thursday night. I was up at 2 o'clock watching a spring break show, which was a fantastic entertainment. But I mean, it's just one show after another. I had friends, including the AEW heavyweight champion, Sami Callihan, who wrestled 10 times from Thursday through last night.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He also ran two shows during the course of that time. So it's very lucrative, because you have so many people going into a very small place like Orlando. So many wrestling fans out there, they might want to go to Disney, but they might want to see more wrestling.
Right.
So
does this happen every year in every city?
This started I want to say in 2005 in Chicago. Ring of Honor ran two shows, and also IWA Mid-South ran a show, and since that time more promotions have been traveling along with WrestleMania to that site
to take advantage of all the fans that are there.
There's so much stuff there. And the WWE does the same thing. I mean, they usually do a next takeover during that time. They do the Hall of Fame ceremony. They do whatever they can to get that lovely, lovely wrestling dollar.
They were from Friday on. They had something every night. Like you said, they get the Hall of Fame, the NXT, Mania, Raw, SmackDown tomorrow, so this is like a full week.
And then a next taping on Wednesday night as well. So
seriously.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tonight is SmackDown. Tomorrow is NXT.
That's correct.
So they're hanging in Florida a whole week.
To be fair, they do the next tapings down there anyway.
Oh, they do.
But I mean, in general, yes. They've had it is literally the ultimate thrill ride, just because of so much wrestling in so little time.
Wow. Okay, now what did you think of WrestleMania overall this year?
I enjoyed the show. My biggest complaint with the show was it just seemed so long.
Yeah. Everybody I've talked to says that it was, you know, there were great moments, but it was really long.
If you take it for something where newsworthy moments, it was a great show. If you take it for something where there was very good wrestling, it was a great show. But when you sit there and think about it, the regular WrestleMania, quote unquote, air quotes, obviously don't work on the radio like they should. That started at 6 o'clock, and the main event wrapped wrapped up around 11. So that's a five-hour show.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wrestling.
That is a lot of wrestling.
Even for someone like me that has been into wrestling since I was probably like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
That is a long stretch of time.
It really is. Now they switched the card at the last minute, didn't they? Didn't they move the women's match?
They originally were going to do the women's match on the pre-show. It
right.
was the SmackDown women's title match. And then they moved that to the main show, and it got the spot right before the main event. So it was right sandwiched between Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg, and then Roman Reigns and The Undertaker.
Right.
So, and considering that they were rushed for time, I thought that I actually enjoyed that match a whole lot.
That's what I heard. I heard it was a great match.
Yeah, it was just solid. It was just, you could tell that they had a limited amount of time and they wanted everyone to shine, and I knew that would be quick. It was much like Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, where I was just like, okay, I know they're going to be in there for 5 minutes, and I know I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Goldberg's matches always last like 5 or 4 minutes or whatever.
Unless it's like a Diamond Dallas Page. It's not something where you want to stretch out the Bill Goldberg experience. And also, like, for the fact, when I look at how old he is,
yeah.
like, and there was a report that came out last week, I don't know if you saw this, it mentioned how miserable he was because of all the training he had to do and all these things. And it just really brought a lot of fantastic internet backlash
yeah.
where it's like, your matches last 4 minutes.
I
but
know.
Still,
oh,
he has
man.
To look the part, obviously.
Yeah,
you know?
He does. When he first came back, like the night that he came back, he was sweating so much.
Yeah.
I was so concerned for him. I was like, at least take your leather jacket off, dude. I mean,
now speaking of sweating, you saw Kurt Angle debut tonight
yeah.
as the Raw general manager.
Yes, I did.
His jacket was drenched while he was coming down the ring.
It was ridiculous. It was the first thing I noticed when he got in the ring, and he's the new GM. Which I like. I like that idea.
He was a GM before, so he has previous experience
and
with
SmackDown,
this. I believe
yeah.
he was a SmackDown GM.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, well, let's talk about the WrestleMania results and matches.
Okay.
Neville, who I think is great, defeats Austin Aries to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. Now, if I did have WWE.com, the WWE Network, I would watch 205 Live.
It's a very good show.
Because I love the Cruiserweights.
But there's a lot of wrestling.
The problem
with the WWE right now, in my opinion, and this is going to sound really odd, is the fact it's way too much content. And I know you're like, well, can't you pick and choose? Yes, but I feel that I'm leaving things out because I'm just so used to 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, how much wrestling can someone consume? I mean, I consume a lot of wrestling in my spare time as it is.
Right, I know.
So
yeah.
it's hard. But 205 Live, I think, has some of the best wrestlers in the world. Neville, since becoming a heel or a bad guy, has been phenomenal.
Great.
And the match he had tonight with former AAW wrestler and freelance wrestler Mustafa Ali was sensational.
Yeah, and he's from Chicago.
Yeah.
No, that was a great match. It was a great match. It was too bad that the crowd was too concerned with a beach ball. I was like, how these guys are working their ass off in the ring. I know you want to have fun and you want it to be a crazy crowd, but pay attention to these
guys.
But
if I had a beach ball right here, Nick, would you really care about what I was saying? You'd be caring about this beach ball.
Yeah, you
got to understand, though, the cruiserweights in the WWE have always had that sort of stigma where it's not the big guys, even though the matches are just as exciting. So the 205 Live is a very good show, and I try and watch it when I can, but it's too much.
Yeah, there's too much. I have a guy who comes on every couple of weeks to talk about TV with me. His name is Dan Feinberg. He writes for The Hollywood Reporter, and we talk TV every 2 weeks. And every single week, every single time he's on, every appearance, he's like, there's just too much TV.
Oh, yeah, it's the content. Like, I was thinking about it this way. You remember the TV show Growing Pains?
Yes.
Of course, yeah. I mean, why am I silly? I was thinking of it this way. I know almost every episode of Growing Pains because back in the day, that's all I had to watch in the afternoon. That or Different Strokes.
Right.
My son will never know the pain of only having 5 channels, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, but he won't know the thrill of the cocaine episode of Growing Pains like I did. So it's just like that. With the WWE Network, you have the chance to watch all this wonderful stuff, go back in the archives, and many independent promotions like us at AAW, we have our own on-demand service right now for $9.99. You have a whole library of almost 13 years full of shows.
That's great.
Not all 13 years are up there right now. I just want to make sure that's out there.
All right. Okay.
I have to state that caveat.
So the Neville and Austin Aries match, what'd you think?
It was very good. It was very good. I mean, it was very good
at
considering playing for that crowd where they did. I mean, you know, the people were still filing in as the show was started, so they were put on in that position. But I thought they made the best of it.
Yeah. And clean win for Neville?
From what I remember, I had like four or five kids over at my house at the time. So we unfortunately had scheduled a family party around WrestleMania, but it wasn't a family party. Hey, everyone come over and watch WrestleMania.
Oh.
It was more of a, you guys couldn't make the regular family party yesterday at the bounce house, baby. Let's just come on over today.
Okay.
So.
All right. Mojo Rawley wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal with the help of a New England Patriot.
The highlight of the pre-show was this. Usually the WWE has security people that they hire as extras, like independent wrestlers that they put a nice black t-shirt on. Romania, being a bigger show, has legitimate security people as well. The security person, I don't think, was wise for the fact that this Patriot was going to be in the ring and freaked out, and it was spectacular.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes.
Oh, no. So nobody told the guy?
I can't. It was a woman. It was a security woman, but she was not very happy at the situation about this. So.
All right. And how was that match? Was it...
Fast forward.
Okay. Dean Ambrose, champion, versus Baron Corbin. To retain the Intercontinental Championship.
Fine what it was. I enjoyed Dean Ambrose and his denim highlights. So, yeah, it was a fine match. I don't know why it was here as opposed to the main show, but I enjoyed it.
Weird, isn't it?
It was. It was, but considering, you know, they had so much time that they needed in that 5 hours.
Yeah.
That really having a 15-minute Intercontinental title defense wasn't part of it. It was fine. I was surprised that Dean Ambrose retained because I was thinking Baron Corbin was someone where he could have won this match and become a bigger player because of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Kevin Owens. I'm sorry. AJ Styles and Shane O'Mac.
Shane wrestled.
He did, yeah.
He didn't do anything silly.
He didn't. He didn't jump. Well, he went through a table, didn't he?
The table's not like a really silly
right.
thing.
His
though.
Sister went through a table, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thought it was a good night for McMahon's and tables right there.
Yeah. How was the Styles-Shane match?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I was really looking forward to it. And I think AJ Styles, without a doubt, is the best performer in the WWE today. And Shane is goofy and wacky enough and doesn't wrestle enough where he's not an annoyance. So it was fun for what it was. I mean, my expectations were it could be fantastic and I'll be happy. It could be okay and I'll be happy.
I was at the show in Rosemont when he took that insane bump. When Shane
went off, him and Test, I believe.
Yeah. And he climbed up and the whole place just went nuts.
Of course they did. It was Shane O'Mac. Yeah. It was the money coming
it
down.
And the other thing is, you got Vince McMahon as your dad. You don't have to do this stuff, man.
Nothing at all. He has his own life as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, he doesn't need to do these kind of silly things. Like, he does not need to plummet off things. And
right.
And, you know, some people were like, well, where was a plummet? It's okay. He doesn't have to plummet every single match.
Yeah.
You can't sit there and expect, you know, if you sit there and give a plummet every single match, people are going to be like, okay.
Well, he's going to do that again.
He's going to do that again.
Yeah, exactly. All right, hang on a second. Keith Lipinski is with us, and we're going to talk about the show with AAW Pro Wrestling, which is epic, is the event. It's this Saturday at Joe's Live in Rosemont. We'll tell you about the card. And there's, what, you said 30 tickets left?
I believe we have 30 or something tickets left now at this time. And we'll have a link to that up on the fancy website, so you can go straight to the ticket site.
So it's AAWrestling.com, right?
AAWrestling.com will help you get to the ticket site, but I'll give you the ticket site as well.
All right, cool. We'll do that. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then more wrestling talk right here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7201. Song, one artist, two songs, two for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk, we got some really fun food topics we're going to get to, and another edition of the pop-up video challenge. My guest right now is Keith Lipinski. He's a producer with AAW Wrestling, AAW Pro Wrestling, and their next live event is Saturday at Joe's Live in Rosemont, and we'll get to that in a couple of seconds. And we were just wrapping up WrestleMania results and your thoughts on WrestleMania. And the match that I was most excited about was next on the card, and that was Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Can I just say, let me just say this.
Please.
That the 23 minutes of the Festival of Friendship, one of the best things I've seen on Raw in a long, long time. And that heel turn, his face turn, not because Kevin Owens was a heel to begin with, but like Jericho's ultimate face turn because of that phenomenal.
It was fantastic.
Oh my god! I mean,
especially that, you know, you could actually buy that painting.
Can you?
On WWE.com. You can't buy that sculpture that they had, which was quite as not as delightful, obviously, but more abstract than anything else.
I got to tell you that whole feud, I love it. I love it. And man, Jericho is just really killing it, man. And how long has he been in business? 25 years?
Way too long. I mean, when you think about it, how long he's been in there, and he's very smart. He's sort of taken the Hulk Hogan approach. And I don't mean like, you know, 24-inch pythons and how dark can our skin get. But what I mean by that is he knows when to leave for a little bit and then come back and make himself be the center of attention.
And he really is killing it. And he's always been one. Jericho's always been one of my favorites.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he just.
I remember your Y2J t-shirt.
I do.
I believe I had the same shirt.
I had a Y2J shirt. I also had a Jerichoholic shirt.
You were drinking it in,
man.
So
this whole Lisp thing is fantastic. He's killing it, man, and just walking around with a stupid scarf on, and
it was WrestleMania, so he had a very special scarf that lit up,
like his jacket.
He didn't wear the jacket, just the scarf and the U.S. title. But this match was everything I thought it would be. I was very happy with this match, and I thought it was very, very good. So.
Okay, was it a clean win for Owens?
It was a clean win for Owens. Okay, yes. And it was fun, and they had a humongous inflatable list of Jericho on the side of the stage, which I do not think is available at WWE.com. Like the painting, the making, the whole
making
the
of
Adam.
Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Oh my God! I'm telling you, I was peeing myself with laughter during
fantastic.
That. It was just, and when he came out, the music and the showgirls and everything, I was just, this is the greatest. It was fantastic.
He knows how to be cheesy in the best possible
way. Absolutely.
And God bless him for that.
Now, he got sidelined last night on Raw. Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe and KO beat the hell out of him backstage.
Hope he's going to be okay for his Fozzy tour coming up.
He does have Fozzy dates. That's right. Is he taking a break now?
I believe he's taking a break for a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's fine because then he can come back. And the feud can be reunited and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Bayley in the elimination match. She retains the title. How are you feeling about the Raw side of the women's competition?
I feel, and it seemed like they started it tonight, that needs some shakeup. Just because as much as Charlotte and Sasha Banks have been the cornerstones of that division, I feel that it wouldn't be bad if they'd be separated for a while. So it was a very good women's match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it was on par with last year's three-way women's match, but it was pretty good. I like the fact that they introduced Nia Jax in the mix, and then all three girls teamed up to get her down.
Yeah.
And she looked actually really good while getting all three people down. And that's one of the secrets of pro wrestling, Nick. We're gonna expose it a little bit. Is if you lose, at least lose like that.
Right.
You have to sit there. It takes three women powerbombing you off the top rope and then all covering you at the same time.
That's fantastic.
You know, you're still going to be a monster then.
She was a monster last night on Raw,
she
too.
She was.
So. They brought Emma in last night.
They brought in evil Emma, who I've never understood or the fascination.
Because
when I started watching wrestling, or when I started watching WWE, Emma's gimmick was this, and I'm doing hand motions again, where she just did a silly dance.
Right.
And everyone's been like, oh, Emma this, Emma this. I just don't get it. And now she's bad Emma. She has glasses. She's dancing on the
announce table.
On the announce table.
Hey, how come the German announce table didn't get destroyed last night?
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, obviously, there was probably some oversight last night when they usually do the go-to with all the different countries announcing.
Yeah.
Maybe the German people weren't up there. I thought it was hopefully a brand new exciting tag team, but it was not. It was just,
when I saw it, you know, for those of you who watch, if they introduce like a, you know, the Spanish language or the Spanish
announce
table, it's going to be destroyed.
Well, the
somebody's going to go through it.
The thing also on Raw right now, the announce table for the regular broadcasters isn't there. It's to the side of the stage.
Yeah, it's
so
WCW.
It was just the one German announce table right there.
And I was like, that's got to be, they're going to have to throw somebody through this.
There was
nobody
no love for the Hindi team. The Hindi team didn't get down there. The Chinese team didn't get down there, Nick.
Man, oh man. All right, Hardy Boys come back. That went over really well with the crowd.
I think the surprise was out of the bag, but they handled it very well with the New Day, the WWE tag team. You know, we're like, well, there's a fourth team, and they introduced the Hardy Boys, and the people lost their minds.
Yeah.
And especially the people lost their minds because it's the Hardy Boys.
Right.
And it's something where it's one of the few remaining Attitude Era things that hasn't been killed or burned to the ground yet, where there's still something there. And also with everything that Matt Hardy did with his obsolete and delete stuff last year, it's a little bit more relevant now than it was back then.
Right.
So
right.
it was a fine.
They look good last
match.
Night. I watched Raw last night, and they look good last. They look good, and you know, both of those guys have had some serious, you know, problems in the past.
They did. We actually had Matt Hardy on a show a few months ago, and just such a nice, sweet young man.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to see what he's done, and I'm curious to see where they do now, because they can't necessarily do the broken characters that they were doing in TNA, but yet they were doing a lot of this, which is, again, I'm doing way too many hand motions for you doing at home. I'm doing sort of the delete hand motion, but I'm only doing it with one hand.
Right,
so.
Right. John Cena and Nikki Bella defeat The Miz and his wife. And then John Cena for real? This was a shoot?
Well, obviously, I mean, if you're carrying a wedding ring in your cargo shorts, Nick, obviously it must be love. It must be true.
And he called her by her real name.
They did not. She was not Nikki, but she was Nicole. That's how you knew what was going on there. Yeah, it was. Match was fine. I think the buildup for this match was one of the best things leading into Mania. The Miz and Maryse spoofing the Total Divas with Miz playing a fantastic John Cena. I think that was absolutely brilliant. I think when it comes to the build for WrestleMania, that was one of the best things that they did this year.
And the Miz is over. Oh, man. He's so over.
He's such a guy that people like to boo, you know. But yet he got so many cheers yesterday.
I know.
But I don't know necessarily if WWE got the pub that they were expecting from the engagement. I don't know if they were expecting front page in the New York Times, you know, next to a Ziggy comic. I don't know, but I don't necessarily. My sort of detection on popular culture sometimes is asking my wife if she heard, you know, that John Cena got engaged last night.
And then if she says yes, then
I would know.
Oh, okay. All right. This next match was the match besides the Owen Jericho match that I was most looking forward to, and that's Seth Rollins Triple H. Well, I know it took like an hour and a half for Triple H to get to the ring.
Wait, no, he had a lovely motorcycle.
Right,
and keep in mind, I don't think you could understand. I'm looking right now on Michigan Avenue, and probably the ramp that they had for Mania went stretched all the way from this. What are we on the seventh floor of the Allstate?
Yes.
I just want to make sure. I don't want to get our sponsors in trouble. All the way to the lake. Like the ramp was absolutely huge.
It was ridiculous.
Triple H, being the smart man that he always is, had a motorcycle, and Stephanie got to ride shotgun all the way down it. So
right.
He was very smart. Undertaker only had a trap door in the middle of it, so he didn't have to go all the way. So.
He didn't even walk all the way?
No!
It would have taken 5 hours for him to get to the ring.
Nick, this is the Undertaker. It was his yard. If he wants a trap door in the middle of this, then...
And how was the match?
Match could have been shortened by a little bit, but was very enjoyable for what it was. I really like Seth Rollins. And
I do, too. He's one of my favorites.
I think this was hopefully the start of something really, really good for him. So, yeah, I enjoyed the match. Was it sort of slow at times? Possibly. But considering, you know, the knee injury that he had and the fact the storyline was that his knee wasn't 100%, you know, it was there was little nods where there was nods to the Attitude Era in that match as well that I enjoyed as well.
Okay. And then, of course, Stephanie went through a table.
Yes, yes. But Stephanie went to the through a table in the most nonchalant sort of way.
I saw it on Raw, yeah.
You know, very much like someone going into a Sealy Posturepedic.
It was very funny, though, because when Vince came back to Raw last night, they showed footage, and of course the crowd starts, "You people are bloodthirsty." And she just kind of fell onto the table.
Fell gently onto that table.
I mean, Triple H barely hit her.
Right. During the course of that match, there was all this plunder, but her falling nicely onto a table. Just basically me falling into bed after this tonight.
Okay, so after that match, inexplicably, Pitbull and Flo Rida came out to a succession of boos.
They were quick, at least, and there was a third guy with Flo Rida and Pitbull by the name of Lunchbox Jones or something like that. a very large, heavyset man, and he was basically my attention during that. It wasn't that bad because you knew it was coming, and at least they made it quick. And I had totally forgotten that when I was at Mania a few years ago that Puff Daddy performed until I saw this Lunchbox Jones or whatever the guy's name was sitting there in the crowd. Yeah.
Following that is Randy Orton defeating Bray Wyatt for the championship. How was that match?
It was fine. I thought it was quicker than it should be. I don't know if they had to cut time because of, you know, time constraints. The eerie thing about this match was at several times – the lights in the arena got dark, and the mat where they were wrestling on all of a sudden had a vision on it. Like there would be cockroaches, there'd be maggots,
right.
There'd be all sorts of things. So it was silly.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting because it was different.
Okay.
But match itself, I was expecting maybe a little bit more.
Okay.
So I like both guys a lot.
And then following that, Lesnar and Goldberg, we talked about that one already.
It was quick. It was good. We had fun. Yeah.
Okay. And then Naomi wins in the SmackDown women's match, which we talked about earlier.
Nicely paced.
And then finally, Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker.
I enjoyed this match, unlike most people. It is The Undertaker, and I was pretty sure this was going to be the end. And it wasn't necessarily the best way to end a career, but it wasn't awful either. I mean, there was moments there where I was just like, I felt bad for Roman just because The Undertaker is an older gentleman now, an older dead guy, so
yeah,
extra old. You know, you say what you will, but here's a guy that's been a character since 1990.
Yeah.
You know, like he's been a character since I was 16.
Right.
So, you know, it was more about the, so you know, the finishing of that career. And also, people were going to boo Roman Reigns no matter what
yeah.
he did. So might as well have him finally destroy the biggest name probably in WWE history.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and then the first 10 minutes of Raw last night.
The first 10 minutes of Raw, if you did not watch it,
wait,
was...
hold on. Let's take a break.
Well,
we'll come back and we'll talk about Raw, and we'll talk about your event coming up as well.
Sure thing.
Okay, so Keith Lipinski is here, and we're talking about... And we will talk about the AAW Pro Wrestling event, which is happening. He's a producer of. It's called Epic. It's happening this Saturday, April 8th at Joe's Live in Rosemont. And it's a 7 o'clock all-ages show, and we'll give you all the details and they're coming up right here on WGN. But let's take a quick break here, and we'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're talking wrestling here with Keith Lipinski, a producer with AAW Pro Wrestling. And we're going to tell you all about the event and the card and how you can get tickets and all that cool stuff. But before the break, we were talking about last night's, you know, Raw after Mania, which has become this crazy, you know, the crowds are nuts. The show is crazy.
Well, part of it, what makes it crazy is people fly in from across the universe, you know, all sorts of alien species and such, just to go to WrestleMania. And then they'll stay for the Raw afterwards. So the people that go to this Raw are the 16,000 most diehard wrestling fans you could do.
Mm-hmm.
The last time that they ran this place in Orlando was the show where Ric Flair retired, where I was there live, and it was one of the most marvelous things I ever saw. And part of it was backed by that crowd.
Yeah.
This is the top of the line wrestling fanatic at the show.
Yeah.
And so in the course of the show tonight, Roman Reigns comes out after defeating The Undertaker. He gets in the ring, and they would not allow him to speak. And he didn't want to speak.
No, it was 10 minutes.
It was
10 minutes. And I don't know if the USA censors were just going, uh-oh, because the F-bomb was being dropped. Everything.
They were deleting him.
Yeah.
They were doing whatever they
yeah.
could. And Roman, give him credit for this. He played this like an absolute pro.
Yeah.
And any thespian or any fan of the theater should watch this performance just because it was amazing.
Yeah.
He finally got a chance to say, it's my yard now.
And then drops the mic, walks out.
By the way, I hate wrestlers dropping the mic. Just because as a technical person, it's just so many guys now drop the mic that it's very upsetting to me. It's like, come on, guys, you can be a tough guy and turn off the mic before and place it down. Now, I'm not asking you to sit there and thrash it down.
Yeah,
please.
But it's funny because I remember one of my favorite Vince McMahon improvised moments was during a Raw, and it was Stone Cold was in the ring,
mm-hmm.
and Vince comes in, and they're, you know, obviously adversarial, and Vince is trying to talk, and his mic keeps cutting out. And he takes the mic, gives him a different mic, says, now start over again because I couldn't hear what you were saying. And then he takes the mic and throws it down the ramp. And then Vince takes a beat and goes, that was a $10,000 microphone. It's my favorite Vince McMahon. And if you go to YouTube and just go Vince McMahon, $10,000 microphone,
that's...
you can watch it over. That was a $10,000 microphone.
Now, I would sit there and say that's probably 1998, 1999.
Something
so imagine
like that.
How much that is right now in 2017.
Exactly.
Like, that's a $15,000 microphone.
Well, Raw was fun last night, mm-hmm. and I'm looking forward to SmackDown. You know, the post WrestleMania stuff is always cool.
And plus, they're going to be doing a big, I don't think they're going to do a full-on draft for all you fantasy draft people at home, but
right.
they're going to be doing some roster swaps over the next few weeks, so
right.
it should be interesting.
Should be good.
They're livening it up because it's like now they built a Mania, and now it's sort of the wind down a little
right.
bit to
right.
ramp back up.
Right.
So.
All right, well, okay, so by the way, I want to get your thoughts on the Hall of Fame. How did you feel about the Hall of Fame? I didn't watch. I have it on my DVR from last night. I'm going to watch it in the morning.
It was probably the best thing to watch on there. Was the Angle stuff was great, but Rick Rude's kids were phenomenal, especially his son. There's not a lot of times where I get emotional in wrestling, or maybe I get emotional about wrestling too much. But his son calling me a fat, out of shape sweat hog actually stirred up something inside me.
I bet.
So
yeah, I bet.
Good stuff.
Okay, cool. All right, let's talk about your event. Producer over here with the AAW Pro Wrestling, your next event is Epic. It's this Saturday at Joe's Live in Rosemont.
Our big Rosemont debut.
Yeah.
So very close, 4 miles away from my house. I'm actually probably going to ride my bike there.
That's
I'm not going to be doing that.
Well, let's talk about the card.
The card right now is we're going to be actually reshuffling the card a little bit just because of I know that there's some injuries and some stuff going on. We haven't announced a bunch of the matches yet, but they'll definitely be up. AAW Pros on Twitter. So usually we do our match announcement on there. But, I mean, we are known without a doubt of having the best independent talent in the wrestling world coming here. We got the former Pentagon Jr., Penta Ciromero. We also have Ray Phoenix, Michael Elgin, Matt Riddle, who is going to be in the WWE in the next few years. He's a former MMA guy, got popped for a weed, for blowing the weed, as you and I like to say. And now he's really taken to pro wrestling. And I'll sit there and say in 2 years he'll be in the WWE, Nick. A lot of our guys are guys that wrestled with us for a while, and they go off. We had a show in December at 115 Bourbon Street, our normal home, where three of the talents reported to the WWE a few weeks later.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So we're really having a lot of fun. It's a good time. You could definitely check us up all over on smartmarkvideo.com, highspots.com. And actually, we're returning to Chicago proper at the Logan Square Auditorium. I believe it is Saturday
May
night.
May 6th.
May 6th.
Yeah.
And tickets, GA tickets, are available right now at the Reckless Records that is in Wicker Park.
Oh, the Reckless right around Milwaukee.
Oh, yes, baby.
Okay.
So
Logan
pick
Square
up your
Auditorium.
Fresh rock. Your two for Tuesdays there.
On Saturday, May 6th, Take No Prisoners is the name of that show. And I'm looking at some of the people on the list. You guys have Abyss wrestling with you?
We do. The Monster Abyss, one of the nicest men I have ever met
well,
in the wonderful world of pro
is
wrestling.
Is he doing that other character, with, his brother?
Joseph Park, Esquire. He is not, but I feel I could ask Abyss anything, and I feel he would do it. He's without a doubt one of the nicest, biggest teddy bears you've ever met in wrestling, which is surprising because he always asked me to get him thumbtacks and chairs and tables. So,
and you know what he does with that stuff.
Oh, I know what he does. I've
absolutely.
Seen it. I've seen it.
Okay.
So.
What are some of the things that you're looking forward to in wrestling right now, whether it's WWE or any of the other?
Well, I'm interested in WWE signing everyone that's involved in professional wrestling right now because that has been a trend of theirs for the last few years where there's a lot of talent they've scooped up, and they definitely have formulated a very good developmental system with the Next and such. And Next is actually coming to Chicago on Saturday, May 20th at the Rosemont.
I saw the commercial for it.
Yeah, they're
last
doing
night.
Two nights. They're doing Next on a Saturday and then Backlash, the SmackDown pay-per-view on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely all in with the independents.
And
right now.
Why am I blanking on who came back last night?
Finn Balor.
That's nice.
Ireland's greatest export, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Next to Guinness and Finn Balor's abs. So.
So that was nice. That was a big surprise.
Yeah, and also with Next, you're talking about this is where they're getting their talent from. And, I mean, the main event tonight at Raw was four guys. Each of it have been Next champions.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's Hunter's, Triple H's big old talent pool right there. So.
And JR is back?
JR is back. He signed a Legends deal, so he'll be showing up for once in a while. And actually, that weekend, the May 20th weekend, he's actually doing a show at Zany's sometime that afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Our buddy Rick Easer told us about that.
Nice.
And, we're going to try and get Jim maybe on the show. He's been on before.
Oh, that'd be great.
And I saw him at House of Blues a couple of years ago. He's great.
Great man. Great storyteller.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of stuff going. I'm glad to see him back. And that was cool that he you know, I didn't hear it, obviously, because I didn't watch Mania. But it was cool that they had him come back and call the Undertaker.
He sounded incredibly lively during it, and it was fantastic to hear because he's done some stuff recently for New Japan where I don't know if it's the studio setting or something like that.
God, he's broken in half.
So he was really on last night. It was great to see. But yeah, right now wrestling is a great time, and AEW Pro, if you're in the Chicagoland area, is the best wrestling in this area right here, and not this area right here in the studio.
But you're talking about all of Chicago.
I'm talking about all of Chicago, and definitely check us out either at 115 Bourbon Street. We're going to be back in Berwyn on May 25th, celebrating the start of the Memorial Day weekend.
That's
at Berwyn. So yes, definitely check us out, and we're even in LaSalle, Illinois. Illinois now. We're running LaSalle every few months as well.
That's so great, man.
Give them the talent. Give them something
to do. So lots of stuff coming up. You can always check out AAWrestling.com. Mm-hmm. We have a link on our Facebook page. Make it easy. Facebook.com/NickDShow. And again, this next event is this Saturday the 8th. Epic at Joe's Live in Rosemont. The doors open at 6. The bell time is at 7 o'clock. It's an all-ages show.
You got to come out to one of our shows.
I'd love to, man. I would love to. Okay. Keith, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody.
Okay. All right. We'll take a quick break here. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.